Kristen Borg and Lisa Belli. And I just noticed it's often the case that you go to give a talk and there's plenty of white chalk and no color chalk. It seems to be the opposite right now here. So I lose color.
There's
chalk over there.
I don't guarantee it's not color.
I'll have this. Okay, so this will include the part from two papers written by the same group of four authors. So let's start with what do you prefer to attack with graph? Often attributed to Balabashi and Albert. I don't want to get into the history of who attributed to whom. So this is a simple model for the internet of how the internet graph is constructed. So we start with some finite initial graph. So G1 is some graph. So this is the internet at the year 1985. And now, as time goes by, more users join the internet. Let me draw this graph. So more users join the internet, and whenever a user joins, what happens? Well, he or she comes along, this is the new vertex in the graph, and the new vertex has to be connected to existing vertices. So what does he do? He or she chooses a number of existing vertices and connects to them. So G2 equals G1, or Gn plus 1 equals Gn plus a new vertex, Vn plus 1. So this is terrible notation. The vertex set is I add a new vertex to the vertex set, and then I add many new edges to the edge set, plus new edges. And how do I choose the new edges? So first of all, I need to decide how many of them. So the simplest will be if it's always a constant number. It doesn't matter much. So we add m new edges. Each of these edges connects a new vertex to an existing edge, an existing vertex. And how do I choose which vertices I connect to? So each connects to an existing vertex, and each vertex U is chosen probability that's proportional to the current degree of U.
Some of the early guys are going to get terribly coordinated under this scheme.
True.
Even without this, if it's just uniform, they would.
Yeah, if it's just uniform, it will grow like log.
Log.
If,
like this, it grows like a flower. The way I set it here, it will grow like a square root of that.
So yield chunking is probably proportional to its current degree. I'm not telling. So.
But the degree changes when you put in one edge.
True. So I could decide whatever I want. I could decide.
Okay.
I put them one after the other, and then the degree changes.
So
I can decide.
You're just allowing anything.
Yeah. I can decide. I can decide that they're just. For each of them, I choose independently of the other just based on the degree. Before I started working with this vertex, I can decide the independent conditions on going to different destinations. There's a variety of choices, and I try to include as many of them as I can. So,
right. I'm not telling you what the exact dependent structure is.
Just think about one reasonable one and it covers it.
Okay, but Rick does have a point. In the sense that if I add them one after the other, then the model is much easier to analyze than if I add them, then if I do pretty much any other scheme of adding, of any other structure of dependence. So, I start with a question, and the question is, what's the structure of this graph? And you ask about volume growth, you can ask about volume growth around the first original vertex, you can ask about the volume growth around the uniform vertex.
So what does volume growth mean?
So volume growth means I look at the ball of radius n. This contains a number of vertices. This is the volume of the ball. And now I take n to infinity, I get a function. So for the finite graph, of course, it doesn't quite make sense. It only makes sense up to some finite n. But in general, what is the function of the number of vertices of the ball of size n? This is volume growth. So around the origin, or and you can ask me more questions. So what I'm going to present answers some of these questions. So the weakest partial limit that I'm going to present theory answers some of these questions. In particular, from the questions around the uniformly chosen vertex, but not around the first vertex.
Could you state again the question about the diameter?
Yeah, so I have Gn is a finite graph. And I have a sequence of finite graphs.
You just want the diameter.
And I want the sequence of diameter. I don't understand what it looks like. But I don't, because actually what I'm going to present doesn't answer this question. But this is the question of the diameter. No, it's actually known. So the purpose of this talk is to describe the weight distribution limit of the preferential attachment graphs. But before I do that, I might want to tell you what the definition of a weight distribution limit is in general. So select N, and then Gn. Not necessarily this Gn. Not necessarily subgraphs of each other. They might be, but there is no. They don't need to be. They don't need to be defined in the same sample space. Assume we have a bounded average degree. So the graphs are sparse. So what I'm going to do, so for Gn, we fix a uniform vertex. I have a graph, and I choose a vertex of this graph uniformly at random. It's just a distribution. And
so it's a random variable.
Yep. And now I show this as Vn, and I look at the ball of radius k around Vn in Gn.
Radius. I mean, what's the radius here?
So we have a natural we have a natural metric, we have a natural metric for a graph. I say your neighbors are a distance one from you,
okay,
then your neighbor's neighbor are a distance
one
two.
One.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's only like one, yes.
Okay.
So I look at the ball of radius k around the end. So this is a random graph, a random rooted graph. This goes, this may or may not. This may or may not converge as n goes to infinity, but the bounded degree gives us some tightness that tells us that we have subsequential limits.
The probability of seeing a particular graph.
Say again?
The probability of.
So this possibly converges. And going to go and as n goes to infinity to something I call vk. And now take k to infinity. Now the limit. K goes to infinity. And k is the weak distribution limit of the sequence gn.
What is the bit that's converging?
It's the distribution. So for every look at this, it has some graph structure. So I don't remember the name of the vertices. I just remember the root has this and this degree, and its neighbors are connected to each other in this and this way, and so on. So there is a finite number, actually it's an infinite number, because I have degrees to be as large as I want. But there's some number of possible structures for the ball of radius k. So I have a distribution.
Okay.
So I have a distribution on graphs, and I look and now I look at the limit of the distribution as n goes to infinity. And
so it's the uniform distribution on those graphs.
No, I have a every given g. So I take gn and I take a random vertex, then I have a random rooted graph. This random rooted graph, I look at the graph inside the ball of radius k. This is another random rooted graph, and I have a distribution on these. And now, so for every n, I have some distribution, and hopefully, as n goes to infinity, they converge. Bounded average degree is a necessary condition, but not sufficient. Okay. So.
So basically, you're saying if you go far enough, it doesn't matter where you started.
If you go far enough, it doesn't matter where you start. In what sense?
Well, in the sense taking k to infinity, you go far, and the convergence means it doesn't matter what your initial node was.
The initial nodes get never seen. It's just
no. It does matter what the initial node was. You'll see in a second that. There are cases where it really does matter what the initial
graph
is.
Okay, so
what can, if we know the weak distribution limit of a sequence of graphs, what can we learn from it? So there are certain many things that we can learn from it. For example, what's the degree distribution of the in the limit? Or how likely I am to see exactly this structure and how likely am I to see exactly these structures is an induced subgraph, and how likely am I exactly to see this structure as a subgraph. I mean, all of these answers are solved once you know the weak distribution limit. You can ask questions like, if you're interested in, say, the degree of a vertex, if I take a vertex and I look at another vertex of a distance a million, what's the correlation between their degrees and how this behaves as this million goes to infinity. There's all sort of information that's included in the. There's also a lot of information that is not included. Yes, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're describing this abstract notion of convergence, which is, we discovered by many times, including myself in 1991. I actually call it local weak convergence, because as you're saying, what it's telling you is what the graph looks like locally around a random point, and this somehow, if you have to say that in the beginning, then it's sort of more clear that the degree distributions into subgraphs are in it, or there's diameters and things like all statistics and in it. Mm. But somehow, I mean, one shouldn't argue about names, but weak distributional limits could mean anything pretty much. When you say local weak convergence, you're actually getting
okay
on one point.
Contain non-local information. There's another type of information which is quite important, is that it contains, which is relevant to the preferential attachment graph. So one thing that people often ask is, how many triangles are there in a graph? So a triangle is something local. So you would think that you will see how many triangles there are in GN by looking at the limit. In the case of the preferential attachment graph, however, the number of triangles goes to zero, or the density of triangles goes to zero. So in the limit, you will see zero triangles. But in fact, you might be interested the number of triangles. How does it go to zero as a function of n? So this is another piece of information that cannot be retrieved from the local weak convergence. So I told you what the preferential attachment graph is, and I told you what local weak convergence is, and now I'll describe the limit. The limit lives on the interval 0, 1. And the first thing that I do, I choose a point x0 on the interval. So I forgot to say I have a parameter exactly from the parameter of the preferential attachment graph. In a way that I won't tell now, but I might tell later. So the distribution of has a number of connections. So, as we said, when we build the graph, at every point, in time, a new vertex arrived, and this vertex sent, we said a fixed number m of connections into the already existing graph. So consider these m vertices that it's connected to be its fathers or its parents, and the vertices that would join our vertex later in the future, we call them children. Okay, so now I need to decide who the parents and who the children are of this x0. So first of all, choose x0, comma 1 up to x0, comma m uniformly and independently on this interval. And these are the parents. Now I need to tell you what the children are. So the children, so if the parents will be to the left of the vertex and the children will be to the right of the vertex, and the children are a Poisson point process on the interval from x0 to 1, with intensity gamma of x0 times x to the phi minus 1 divided by zero, the phi minus one, no, yeah, the phi minus one, everything dx, and gamma of x zero is a random variable with a gamma distribution, whose parameter I forgot to write on my notes, so I will not put it on the board. Okay, it's just a function. So what I get. Some number of children here, maybe zero, maybe more. It's just a Poisson process of some intensity here. Okay, and now I continue. I want to choose the parents and the children of this guy, so I just have m uniform variables in this interval, and a Poisson process with the same intensity on this interval. If I want to choose the parents and the children of this guy, which is a child, I only want m minus one uniform points in this interval, because I already have one parent. So that's one thing, and also, so if
you were chosen as a child, then I you can get only m minus one parent. If you were chosen as a parent, you get m parents. And also the formula for the density of the Poisson process will be different if you were chosen as a child and as a parent. So there are two different formulas. That's all there is. And this way I just construct my graph. Eventually I forget about the geometry, I forget about the guiding the interval. And I claim that this is the weakest version of the professional definite graph.
So in particular there are no triangles.
So in particular it's a tree.
So, I guess the only way you'll get infinitely many parents is if as n grows, you attach to more and more people in the existing and then I would imagine that just the construction will not work. The construction will work for currently it's quite robust, but I think that we do need some bounds on the we do need some tightness for the number of verses that you attach to it. So if this is not tight, then this construction will not work. Yes.
So what you're constructing is what you're claiming is in fact the weak limit. When
yes.
you started, you said it lives in the unit interval, which I took to mean that one weak limit was one number or point.
No, what I'm describing is the weak limit. It's a graph, and it lives in the interval in the sense that that's where I construct it. And also the fact that I have an embedding into the interval allows all sorts of calculations. But eventually, if you just look at it, eventually when you're asking which sense is the weak limit, in the graph sense, as a graph, it's the weak limit. It's not. The where things are on the interval makes no difference for the question of what the fact is. Yes, please.
What does X in that fine loop do?
What is where?
The scale of X from 0 to 1 in fine loop.
I'm not sure where you're here. So here, I have x0, and I'm asking how do I choose where x0 is? So it's chosen based on the distribution, a distribution that has this density. So x to the phi dx with the appropriate normalization.
How do you like embed the node into like the point of these?
How? Say again.
How do you embed the node into these interval?
So I just choose the point of this interval. This is the node. And this is how I construct the graph. And eventually I have the graph constructed. Yes, please.
So I make sure I understand. So for the each of these k's is a probability distribution isomorphism type of
exactly.
The limit that I am in the graph. So
exactly.
The limit is a probability distribution isomorphism type of the graph.
Yes.
So your opinion is that this graph is the same as
I claim that this graph is the limit of the preferential attachment model in the sense that it's still written here.
So for each m, you get some value from psi?
No, actually. M only enters the distribution here, what exactly the intensity is for the point process. Psi is determined. So there was something that I didn't say, which is that often instead of just doing pure preferential attachment, pure preferential attachment is the model that I described. You attach to a point with probabilities proportional to its degree. You can also people often speak about mixture of uniform versus rational attachment. So you flip a coin, and probability alpha is you take it to the uniform point, and probability 1 minus alpha is to the preferential attachment. And then size is a function of alpha.
So you flip a coin for which edge, or for 1 point for all edges?
You flip the function. So within this limit, there's some approximation result. And how close you are to being linear is important. So some approximations, if you're a good enough approximation of linear, and I will not be able to tell you on the spot what exactly it means by good enough, and it will work, but when you deviate, eventually you'll deviate too much. Okay, so that I will discuss is how do I prove that this is the limit of the preferential attachment graphs. So
what is the type of
one? Which is particularly nice because then the Poisson process is uniform. So here when I want to prove this, I have to speak about something that I promised not to tell you, which is again what is the dependent structure of the different edges. So Rick suggested that I take them one after the other, and each one changes the degree for the next one. And I suggested a few other models. So the way we prove the weak convergence is first for the sequential model. So the sequential model is exactly when you do them one after the other, each one to the next. And the second part will be use the fact that it's for the sequential model and prove it for all other mechanisms. Somewhat older material, but again the same group of people. For the sequential model, what we get is a polyhedron. So what's a polyhedron? I'm not sure. And people here come from different backgrounds. So polyhedron is, I have, say, two urns, and I drop balls into different urns. And now, when I want to drop the next ball, I have to go to one of the two urns, then the probability that I choose the left urn is the total number of balls in the left urn divided by just the total number of balls. So you already see that the preferential attachment is this thing. So in what sense is it this? So I look at the n.
fix some number n, I look at the n, and now I mark my favorite vertex to be the left urn, and everything else will be the right urn. And now, for every new connection that arrives, if it doesn't go into GN, I add this has to go into GN, but then the next one could already go here. So if it doesn't go to GN, then I ignore it. And if it does, then it's a polar error. So that's the polar error that exists there. And now, so I told you what the polar urn is, but I didn't tell you what it's good for. So Polya's theorem is that if you have a polar urn, then it's the same distribution. The distribution of the process is what I described is exactly the same as the distribution of the process of returning some random number for this, one minus that random number for here, and then for each ball, go to here with the probability that it's this random number, and go to here with the probability that it's one minus that random number. So this is the Polya urn. So what we can do, we can now determine this random number for this vertex, for this special vertex, call it alpha. And now, whenever something joins GM, it go here with probability alpha, and to the rest with probability 1 minus alpha. But the first thing I did after we had GM, we added another vertex, this one. And now we have a slightly bigger graph. And so now, I do the same for the area of the higher level, so now I separate everything from the newest one. And it has some alpha prime. And again, if any time in the future if a vertex joins GN plus 1, then probability alpha prime it goes here. The probability alpha times 1 minus alpha prime it goes here. And with whatever left it goes here, and so on. So I can really describe the entire process in the language of Polya urn. And then we do some calculations in this Polya urn, but now everything is really straightforward, and the Polya urn leads to the limit that I described. And for the part two, why does it work for other mechanisms? So again, even though I guess I have the time, I don't want to go into the details. But the reason is that, say, the independent case, which is somehow the most natural, is a very good approximation of the sequential. So, and as it turns out, it's a good enough approximation for them to have the exact same distribution, the exact same local weak limit. So now the last part, we discussed what we can do with it.
Maybe you. Okay, let me ask the questions. Why is it very similar?
It's very similar.
Now what is the mechanism you're talking about?
referential attachment, so I compare two different referential attachment mechanisms. One is the sequential, and the other, when a new vertex joins, it just chooses M independent connections based on the referential attachment rule.
Without updating the.
Yeah, without updating the grid from one another. So it is similar because basically you can write a coupling, so the coupling will be at time n, you have distribution of the sequential, distribution of the dependent, and so you can find a coupling that minimizes the probability that they do different things. So there's, for every two distributions, there's such coupling. And now the question is, what is the probability that they do different things? So the first thing that you hope is that this probability, that the sum of this probability converges, in which case, it's from some point on, they really look the same. Unfortunately, this doesn't happen. The sum of this probability does not converge. The second thing that you might hope for is that for most vertices, so now, again, I look at a particular vertex. So if I have a vertex, so here I'm gradually building the independent graph, the independent copy, and here I'm gradually building the sequential one. So at time n, there's no doubt that they're different. But if I look at a particular vertex k, this is my vertex k, it could be that at time n, k has the same degree in both in both copies. And the question is, assuming it has the same degree in both copies, what's the probability it will have the same degree in the next step? So what's the probability that an error will occur? So I don't care, so I have these distributions, they send stuff, and I do my best so that they do exactly the same. But I don't care if they do something different for some vertex here. All I care about is if I have a connection to this vertex k here and I do not have one here, and so on. So these probabilities do converge. So this is the sense in which it's similar enough. And okay, so I told you what we can do with this, all sort of local structures. I told you what we cannot do with this. So we cannot say understand how the diameter grows. We cannot even understand how exactly the number of triangles goes to zero. And then there's a third group of questions. There are things that should be doable using this limit, but at the moment we're still working on them. So this, for example, would be I described the correlation, the decay of correlation of say the degrees or any other local property of a uniform point and a point at a distance n from it. How does this decay with n? So we have partial results that indicate that they should decay exponentially, but we're still working on it. And if you want more questions of this type, you can come to me during the break. So thank you very much.